only know the midnight wind, that's when I walk alone. I have no one to say goodnight, no one to call my own. I only have the midnight wind to tell my troubles to. Since you have gone, there's no one dear to whisper I love you. Tonight my heart is crying, it's breaking dear in two. The midnight wind is sighing, it knows how I miss you. I know someday we'll love again, so darling, won't you try? Until you do, I wait for you. The midnight wind and I. It's breaking here in two. The midnight wind is sighing, it knows I miss you. I know someday we'll love again, so darling, won't you try? Until you do, I wait for you. The midnight wind and I. Until you do, I wait for you.
Wow, that song just ended all abruptly. I guess, I don't know. Wow. I'm sorry, folks. Good thing I was paying a modicum of attention. This is CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstead Show, the radio show where we talk about comics. It's just me today, but I have a very special guest. His name is Dave Kirsch. His books are, let's see, the main thing, I guess, out is Last Cry for Help from Bodega. Is it Bodega? Is it Bodega, Dave?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. That's what I thought. I couldn't find it on here, but it was them that sent it to me. And your new book that's coming out is Neverland?
That's right.
That's right. Oh, good. I can remember. I'm not all together today. I cut a big hole in the end of my finger last night doing dishes, so I'm moderately scattered. So I apologize in advance. So how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. So I'm catching you on your vacation in lovely San Francisco.
That's correct.
Any funness in San Fran so far?
Just the typical things, riding the trolley cars, and they actually have this old arcade museum.
Oh, nice.
So I enjoyed that. They had really crazy machines there dating back over 100 years.
Oh, wow. So lots of pinball and weird games with odd discuses.
Yeah, they actually had these scenes that I really enjoyed. It was basically this whole scene laid out on a table. It's like a carnival scene with all different rides and games, and you put in about 50 cents, and every little person in this contraption moves or does some very small action. It's remarkable.
Weird. Why aren't things so complicated and interesting nowadays?
I don't know.
I don't know. So I guess let's start out with a little biographical information about yourself. And did I pronounce your last name properly?
It's Kirsch.
Kirsch? Actually. Okay. I apologize. I'm notorious for my mispronunciations of things.
That's all right. I actually like the other pronunciation better because it means cherry in German. And I always thought that was kind of nice.
Aww. Does Kirsch mean anything?
No.
No. It's German for last name.
Exactly.
How did you get into comics, and how does that relate to your own schooling and education? Because you have a little different education than most of the folks I've ever interviewed.
Right. Well, I guess I would consider myself a book person, really interested in books, and that somehow got me into making the comics that I make. But I guess when I say I'm a book person, I'm mostly interested in picture books and not necessarily comics, but the artists that I really love are mostly children's book authors, which is a little funny because the books that I make are not children's books.
No, they're not. They're young folks.
So, but I also like a lot of artists that kind of make, I don't know what you would call it, maybe just artist books.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this artist, Ray Johnson, a lot, who started doing a lot of mail art, I guess, in the 50s. And another artist who did a lot of children's books that both these guys went to this place called Black Mountain College, which wasn't really a college. It was just more of a hangout for artists.
Oh, okay.
And this other guy is Remy Charlip, who did a lot of really interesting children's books, but was also a dancer and a choreographer. And he choreographed a lot of his dances through drawings, which was really interesting.
Neat, so you can kind of work on the motion and stuff. I guess mm-hmm. trying to draw the motion.
Keeping it very simple and iconic at the same time.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. What was it that first drawed you into doing comics?
Well, I think I had some stories I wanted to tell in a simple way that I could reproduce easily, and just I feel that comics lends itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I did actually make a lot of picture books that were more like children's books. And I guess at some point I felt that I had more than I wanted to say that didn't fit that format. So I guess I started to find my own voice in doing that. And I don't know if it really fits in anywhere still, but I'm working on it.
So have you always been doing like the same style of comics?
It's evolved, and I hope that each project I do is a little bit better than the last.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a descriptive for most of the stuff, and it's kind of like breaking the fourth wall on, I guess, like a after school special gone wrong.
Right. Yeah. The last book I had from Bodega was kind of, a lot of times people ask me, you know, are these comics autobiographical? I think a lot of people think that because a lot of times I sort of have a first person narration in it.
Mm.
And they're not really autobiographical. So with the after school special thing that you just mentioned, with the last cry for help book, I kind of felt that in a way where it comes from as being autobiographical is that a lot of these little stories that I had in there were kind of based on things that I connected with growing up and watching on television.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those things were after school specials. And I've kind of tried to develop that more in a book that I'm working on now that hasn't been published, but I have parts of it on my website. I hope to eventually publish that book.
That's not Neverland, that's something else.
Yeah, it's similar to the last Cry for Help book, but the stories are longer, so they're not just little snippets. You kind of get into the character a little bit more. And I've done 3 stories for that book so far. I have one of them online on my website.
It's DaveKComics.com?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the book that I'm talking about, I just have it there in the design section. It's titled Motorbikes.
Oh, okay.
It's one of 3 parts, and there's 2 more parts of the book. So I hope to possibly publish this myself later this year.
That was the one with the motorbike girls. Kind of looks like a cover image. I remember seeing something in the new Bodega blog.
Right. It's actually a little bit different than my previous work because it's in full color.
Oh, okay. Now, what is it about high school that really sticks with you as far as having it being kind of a theme for most of your work?
Nothing really, because I don't really have any memorable experiences from them personally. But I think there's a theme in my work that I'm trying to express. It's not necessarily high school is great or high school is bad, mm-hmm. but more of the theme in my work is this kind of difficulty in adjusting to the adult world. And that is also a theme, even though it's handled in a different way in this new book that I have coming out. It's called Neverland. And the title is a reference to Jane Barry's Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the most famous story that deals with this theme. And, that the characters don't want to grow up because they see if you do, then you lose your sense of whimsy and imagination.
Mm-hmm. One thing that really struck me about looking at your work is that, like you're saying, it doesn't really read to me as autobiographical because you're really taking on a lot of different perspectives of characters. Is part of that like exploring what is this kind of experience from different points of view?
It's more like a sort of a twice removed thing. I think I try to express sort of personal things within my work,
mm-hmm.
because for me it's the means of expression. At the same time, it's sort of like I almost think of comics like riding on one of these old rides that they have in Disney World. You're on this track, and you're being led to see these different scenes,
mm-hmm.
and the story is there because it's part of a larger story, but you as the person, as the reader on this track, have to kind of interpret what you're seeing, put it together into this larger story. And I try to do that with my work and simplify it so that people can possibly interpret it in different ways.
That's something I really enjoy when creators do that, is because that's also something that JP does in his work, kind of covers that same kind of that adolescent, I don't want to use the term I'm going to use anyways, milieu of, but just leaving, having the story there, but really leaving a lot for people to take in for themselves. Is challenge an important thing for you as far as like when you read something yourself, you want to not just have everything spelled out, but have a lot for you to take out of it and put into it?
Right. There's a writer I really admire who started out as a cartoonist and then ended up writing a lot of novels, and his name is Kim Platt. And a lot of his books have that element to them. Not like what I do comes close to that, because I really admire his work, but that's something that I think about a little bit, because especially when I'm talking about these themes of adolescence or adjusting to the adult world, I really haven't found an answer yet myself. So, I mean, I think the funny thing is that if you watch a lot of these old after-school specials, there's always this sort of moral or message to it that makes the problem, you know, teach a lesson or seem very clear-cut. And I never found those things to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So, while I love those messages, I still, you know, struggle with them a little bit. So, I do want to, you know, leave those things open. And I think another part of my work is that I hope that it's a little bit humorous, because at the same time, these things that I do talk about, I don't want people to take them too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
It's comics. You got to have fun.
Right.
Did you have any favorite after-school special?
Yeah, so many, actually. There's actually one particular actor who's in a ton of these, not necessarily after-school specials, but more made-for-TV movies.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s. His name's Scott Jacoby. And pretty much anything that he was in, he was a similar type of character in whatever movie he was in. So that sort of really fascinates me, because whenever, you know, I saw this kid in a movie, it was like I was seeing him at a different stage of development. It was the same character, but even though it was a different movie.
That's interesting.
So he was in a lot of really great movies, and then he just kind of disappeared. You know, after, you know, in his 20s, he disappeared pretty much. And to me, that's really interesting, because it kind of keeps him this figure, this adolescent, in my mind.
Yeah. You don't see what ends up happening to the character or to the person into adulthood.
Exactly.
You're left wondering and guessing. I'm going to play another song.
Okay, sounds good.
Do you have any particular tracks you'd like to hear?
You
gave me a
how about Rosemary by Randy Newman?
Sounds good. So this is Inkstats,
right.
CITR 101.9 FM. Rosemary by Randy Newman. We'll be back on in a sec. Please hold.
Rosemary, won't you come out tonight? Moon shining, the stars are bright. You stay inside, how can I love you, dear? You up there, I'm down. Come on down, take a walk in the park. I know a place there where's nice and dark. I'll hold yours, babe, and you hold mine. Thinking about you all the time. Hear that wind blow through your window, and I call your name. Need you so, babe. I'm ready to go, baby. Ain't that a shame? Stars of light. You stay inside, how can I love you, dear? You're up there and I'm down here. When you're up there and I'm down here.
CITR 101.9 FM, Inkstats radio show about comics. Today's guest is Dave Kirsch. Just to remind folks in Vancouver, on Friday night was the opening of the Crazy Art exhibition at the Vancouver Art Gallery featuring video games, comics, graphic novels, anime, manga, and animation art. Everything's pretty awesome in that show except for the video game stuff, because I don't really care about that kind of stuff. But there's some really incredible work. You can see some originals by Chris Ware, Seth, Art Spiegelman, Daniel Klaus, even some Gertie pages by Windsor McKay, Kim Deitch stuff. It's a pretty incredible show. Next week, I will have Marv Newland, who is a local animator, who is actually the lone Vancouver artist in the show. And his stuff is fantastic. He's in there as an animator. He did Bambi vs. Godzilla, Lupo the Butcher, and all sorts of fun, awesome stuff. And I think it'll be an interesting interview. If you feel like it, check out inksuds.com, where I have a whole bunch of things I recorded during... I went to a press preview where we got to go on a little tour with Art Spiegelman through the comic section, so I recorded what he said about a bunch of the artists. So check that out, including him talking about Kurtzman, Seth, Ware, Deitch, Justin Green. Got to meet Justin Green. How awesome was that? He was there. And all sorts of fun other stuff. So... now back to our guest. Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Hey. Sorry about that. I had to ramble on.
It sounds like a great show.
It's fantastic. The Vancouver Art Gallery is a very prestigious locale, so it's really neat that they got in some pretty great stuff, including all the pages from Binky Brown Meets the Virgin Mary, which is pretty graphic, and it's pretty crazy to see that in the art gallery. A lot of penises. I'll say that much. So, you, what is your profession? I'm trying to, you're a teacher on the side when you're not doing comics?
I move around to different jobs a lot. I was a teacher for a while. Then I was a librarian. I was a children's librarian.
Okay.
And now I'm trying to make a career as being a graphic designer, designing children's products.
Nice.
Yeah.
Doing like toys and stuff, or books, or whatever fancy comes your way.
It's hard to say because I actually am just starting a job on Monday, and I've just done a few things for this place so far.
I'm just looking at go ahead.
I didn't have anything else to say about that.
I was just looking at your site, and I love it. Your flipbook. Comics, the way you can just flip through them. I didn't even notice that before. What was, how do you get that going?
It's in Flash.
Yeah.
So.
It's just something I've never seen on a comics website. So.
I just thought it would be a quick way rather than making, 100 pages for the stuff. I just have this flip book that you could actually flip through the pages.
Well,
and the website is fairly new. It's only been up for about 2 months. I mean, I've had the website for a while, but it was not very good. And so I sharpened my my web skills a little bit and put together this new site. And I actually have a lot of comics up there. And this book that I have coming out from Bodega, the whole thing is there. Besides, the book is going to have a couple additional pages. And it will be a nice book because I think it's, we're going to have sort of a shiny cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
So buy the book, but if you don't want to buy the book, you could also just read it on my website for free. And I do have a lot of older books, too, at a different part of the site that you could download as PDFs as well.
Oh, wow. I really should have investigated the site further. I think I just looked at the comic section.
You know, I like people to read my work, and so I tried to put up as much as I could at the moment up there for free.
One thing I noticed looking at it is the style in Neverland is completely different than the other stuff. It's a lot darker.
Right.
What was the turn for that and the different, I guess, style?
Yeah. I was working on this book, which is the full color book that I was talking about before.
The motorcycle.
The title of it now is called Dirtbags, Mall Chicks, and Motorbikes, but it might be called something else when I eventually publish it. I was working on that for a long time while I was working as a librarian, and it's very structured. All the pages have four panels on them, the same size, And the way I was drawing it was very structured because some of the stories are like 30 pages and I have to draw these characters consistently over and over again. And I just felt that I got a little burnt out doing that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to break away from that and just kind of have fun, considering I wasn't, I don't really make money from doing these things and I didn't want to torture myself anymore. So I just wanted to loosen up and have some fun. And I actually started doing these really large drawings that I had exhibited in a show in Boston a few months ago. And I kind of didn't even really want to draw comics for a while. But as soon as I started to break out from that structure and loosen up doing these kind of abstract drawings, the comics came out of that, and it ended up being this little book. It's only about 32 pages, and that's Neverland.
I was really curious about the abstract. I guess they're almost like puzzles, kind of. Is that a way of putting it? That's the kind of feeling
yeah,
I get.
Some of these larger drawings, I was kind of maybe making mazes. I actually made some puzzles that like come in little boxes that I decorated. And I guess that was just the mazes and puzzles. It just seemed right when I was trying to do artwork about being confused and not really knowing what to do next.
So was this like an attempt to step away from comics and just try?
It was, and then you know, as I was doing that stuff, I would go out to a cafe or something, get out of my house, and I would just start writing in my journal, and then those things ended up being comics.
So you can't get away from them.
No.
What is
and
the,
like I said, I'm going to go back to working on that project that I was working on previously.
The motorbikes, motorcycles, dirt bags, and mall chicks. Did I get it
you
right?
You got it.
All right. See, I love that title. The mall chicks part really struck to me. There's something just trashy about it. And I love trashy. What is the process for you when you put together a comic?
I'm sorry, I'm just having a little trouble hearing you.
Oh, sorry. What kind of process do you go through when you work on one of your stories?
Okay. Well, this particular with Neverland, like I said, this started as this little text. My text is very simple, so it's almost like I almost feel like I'm writing a poem or a song, something like that when I do that. And then what happens is I take that and I separate it into pages, because at first it's just one kind of long stream of text,
mm-hmm.
and then I say, oh, this works as a page, and then I kind of sketch it out quickly in pen. I don't use pencils, and then I kind of work off of that on a light table. Like, I do several different versions of it until it comes out the way that I like it. And I try to treat each page separately. And sometimes I end up rearranging the order of things.
Do you do like...
And after it's done, what started out as page 4 might end up being page 7.
Do you do, like, all the panels separate or all the panels on a page?
Everything's on the same page.
I did find that when I was reading your work is that there was definitely a different, like, kind of poetic feeling to the situations that the people were going through, where it felt like the kind of dialogue was on a different level, maybe. Is that something that always struck with you as far as storytelling? It's just being able to kind of multi-level it?
I don't know. I guess... I think that probably comes from a lot of the, you know, some of the comics that I liked when I first started to make comics were like a lot of the mini comics that I saw, and you know, I guess, you know, the big influence there is John Porcellino,
mm-hmm.
and it's been the Half catalog, not really his work alone, but some of the other people that were doing things like that. In particular, Jerome Gaynor is one that I really liked. He used to do a zine called Funkopotamus.
Funkopotamus, that sounds awesome.
It was very good. It was, a lot of stuff about high school and skateboarding. Not necessarily stuff that I related to from my own experience, but I loved his artwork and his storytelling. And I think he still makes comics, so I shouldn't say was. He is a very talented cartoonist. And there was another woman who I also discovered through John Porcellino's Spin the Half catalog, and that was Chantel Doyle.
Sounds
she did a
familiar.
Comic called Misery and Vomit. This is in the 90s.
Yeah.
I also discovered Souther Salazar through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a big influence on me, too, because we did several zines that we collaborated on. And I feel like he has a little bit of that in his work as well.
I can kind of see some similarities of feelings between your work and Salazar, that, I guess, kind of youthful whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a...
I don't think Souther has that dark aspect to his work.
No, but there's still...
a lot more positive than I am.
Two different ends of a spectrum. How's that? I'm going to play another song.
Sure.
Do you have any preference, once again?
I don't know if you're able to get it, but one of my favorites is Paul Williams, You and Me Against the World.
I wasn't able to. I tried.
Okay. How about Tom T. Hall's Tulsa Telephone Book?
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll be right back. Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM.
Right.
Have you read any good telephone books lately? If you ain't, then let me recommend one. I've already read that Tulsa telephone book through 13 times. If you don't know any last names, it ain't much fun. Reading that Tulsa telephone book, I can drive a guy insane. Especially if that girl you're looking for has no last name. I gotta find her and tell her I don't want our love to end. So I'm reading that Tulsa telephone book again. Well, I was in Tulsa and didn't have anything going. She lived in Tulsa and didn't have anything on. So she said, my name is Shirley, and I said, my name is T. I woke up the next morning and she was gone. All of the Tulsa operators know my voice now. They gotta know how long I've been alone. If you meet a girl named Shirley with some ribbons in her hair, would you tell her that she'd wanted on the phone? Reading that Tulsa telephone book, I can drive a guy insane. Especially if that girl you're looking for has no last name. I gotta find her and tell her I don't want our love to end. So I'm reading that Tulsa telephone book again. I'm reading that Tulsa telephone book again.
Tom T. Hall and the Tulsa telephone book.
I think that just said what the song was for me. I don't need to say nothing. Tom T. Hall, Tulsa telephone book. Tell me about your choice in music this week.
Well, we started out there with Michael Parks, who is more well-known as an actor than he is as a singer. He was on this great show called Ben Came Bronson, where he played a guy who kind of took off on a Harley Davidson motorcycle and went from town to town. And always met beautiful women. And that's a show I really enjoyed. And he would also sing on the show as well. So he has several records. And he actually has had his last album was just not too long ago, like 5 or 6 years ago. So he's still acting and he's still singing.
He's still giving her.
That last song, Tom T. Hall, was actually from this record I have of this old radio show. It's really hilarious because it's all about baking. It's like this baking this show advertising baking products, and they have songs in between the advertisements rather than the advertisements in between the songs, and that happened to be one of the songs on there that I kind of like.
And Randy Newman.
And Randy Newman, that track is from the album 12 Songs, which I think is his most enjoyable album. I'm a big Randy Newman fan, but that's got to be my favorite album by him. And I picked that song because it's a nice romantic song, I think.
Yeah. It's I can never get into the Newman. It was a kind of a surprise as a request. I've never had that before, so I was interested.
Yeah, a lot of his work is a little bit difficult to get into, and he's an interesting musician because he's done all these movie scores,
mm-hmm.
and then he has more of his pop rock type of songs as well. But I feel that the 12 songs is kind of his most listenable, easy song to listen to. Because it's got some more upbeat numbers in it.
One thing I get a feeling from your work, it kind of emotes like the 70s. What is it about the 70s that sticks out to you? Or is it just me that's getting the feeling?
Well, I guess it's kind of my imagined view of this time period because I was born in 1979. So I really have no experience of the 70s firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
But I did... watched a lot of television from the 70s and enjoyed movies from that period, and I enjoyed the music. And I think the reason why I enjoy things from that time period is because it seems a little bit more mellow, and it seems like things from that time period had a big emphasis on sort of a psychological outlook on things,
mm-hmm.
Rather than a flash and glitz. It was, I guess there was plenty of that too in the 70s, but
it was a different way.
I think it comes from the young adult novels, I guess, from the 1970s. I think are very different than the ones being published today, because there was kind of this emphasis on psychology. And I think that's what interests me. Also, the movies, really kind of long takes and, kind of this ability to linger and get to know the characters. And,
Are you a fan of 70s cult movies?
Some. But I think my favorite type of movie is kind of this movie that I don't think is very popular, even by people who like cult movies, and it's more of like the made-for-TV drama.
The after-school special.
I kind of like this slow-paced type mm-hmm. of things, especially when it's dealing with younger characters. And I felt like that there was a lot of that in the 70s. You don't really see it as much anymore. You see a lot of teen shows and on the WB, but they don't even look like teenagers to me.
No, they're all glossy, pretty kids.
Yeah, it's all like something you'd see on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And not like the ones in the 70s were realistic, but I feel as though I could connect to those characters because the characters have real problems.
Are there any functions of the characters that speak to you in the stories that you tell from your Last Cry for Help stuff?
Well, I know that, I mean, I've gotten very little reaction to that book. Some of the reactions that I've got is people have found it offensive.
Is that a challenge? Because you are dealing with teen stories, and it's teen sex, drugs. I don't know if there's any rock and roll. But is that something a lot of people kind of think of as creepy? I guess because I don't find it creepy. I just find it honest.
Well, I've gotten a response, too, where people thought it was either offensive or creepy. And I guess it is a little bit because, you know, I kind of just wanted to present these snippets that were a little bit over the top because that's kind of my reaction to how you feel when you are a teenager. Everything is over the top. You have a lot of emotions for the first time. And a lot of these emotions, it's like they're so strong. It's almost like life or death. And in order to represent those emotions, if I'm going to do it in a comic strip, I feel that it has to be extreme or absurd in order to convey that emotion.
Now, with Last Cry for Help, is there plans to continue any of that storytelling, or are you just going to shift more into the other stuff that you're doing, like finish or continue those stories?
There's a plan to continue that through that book that is, I have tentatively called Dirtbags, Mall Tricks, and Motorbikes right now.
Okay.
I wanted to do stories like that, but I wanted them to be longer stories where maybe there was a little bit more involvement in the characters. Because in that first book, you don't really care about the characters because you just read about them for maybe 8 pages and then it's over with. It's more about just a gut emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So in this new book, I wanted to explore that a little bit deeper. And like I said on my website, there's a preview to one of those stories. And that first story, Motorbikes, is actually loosely based on one of these programs that actor I was talking about previously, Scott Jacoby, was in.
Mm-hmm.
So it all kind of ties together.
It all comes together nicely. I'm going to do another music break. Normally I don't take so many, but all the songs you picked were like 2 minutes long. So I kind of like throwing in lots of music. What do you want to hear now?
I don't really remember the other songs I gave you, so I guess... Maybe Gail Garnett's Lovin' Place.
Sounds good. We will be right back with Inkstuds, CITR 101.9 FM.
Summer has come and gone, you have gone too. You were my summer sun, my skies are blue. But with the autumn sky, my skies turn gray. You were my love and play, you've gone away. Well, I've been looking for you because that loving place stays on my mind. Oh, yeah, gonna leave this lonely place behind. Gonna leave this lonely place behind.
I love those 1970s keyboards. So full of life.
Yeah, that's actually, that song is by Gail Garnett, who is another actress / singer, like Michael Parks. I don't remember exactly what show she was in. I think it was a Western, some sort of Western show in the 60s.
I could see her having the Western voice.
She's most well known as, I don't know if you've ever seen this, that Rankin and Bass movie, the Mad Monster Party.
No.
It's this great little animated movie. It's the same people that did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, okay.
And I think the characters are actually designed by Jack Davis.
Oh, wow. I love Jack
Davis.
She's
one of the characters in the movie. That's really neat.
That's awesome. I'm a Jack Davis fanatic, so I only wish I could do an interview with him. Tell me about, or actually, I got a couple quick things, and then I'm going to have some more questions. Just to let people know, future shows, like I said, next week will be Marv Newland. June 5th, Jessica Abel and Matt Madden will be joining us to discuss their plethora of books they have coming out, or out already. Blake Bell will be the following week to talk about his Steve Ditko collection. Unfortunately, Steve will not be joining us because, well, Steve Ditko don't talk to no one. And the following week is Danny Hillman will be coming on to be Danny Hillman. He has a new anthology called Typhoon. T-Y-P-H-O-N. I misspelled it once, and Danny got very mad at me. So check it out. And then July, I will be doing a month-long focus on Canadian cartoonists, and I have some interesting things in mind. I just got to square it up. So back to today's guest, Dave Kirsch. I was looking at your website, The Mice, The Mouse Art. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I have some artwork that has mice in it. This was because I was thinking of using these characters in a story for this book called Syncopated, which I did a story for the last issue, which was number 3. And I was thinking of using these mice characters in this new story that I'm supposed to be doing for the next issue. However, I think I'm going to be doing something else now. And that happens a lot with me. I start working on something, and then I crush the idea. But there are some nice mice on the website.
Well, I'll check out the mice. They're pretty mice. They look a little sad, but they're cool-looking mice. One story I really enjoyed was the one of the old guy that was hanging out with your grandma. Was that...
Right, that was the one in Syncopated.
Was it? Oh, okay. I think I forget what exactly. I read it in. I read it in maybe The Greatest Hits or something. I got sent a stack of your stuff. And I can't remember what I read that in. But tell me about people about that story. It's really interesting.
About that story?
Yeah.
So I did a story about this guy, Sidney Peterson, who was an avant-garde filmmaker in... I guess most of his films were made in the 1950s. I got interested in his work because he was a friend of my grandmother that was living at this Salvation Army building uptown in Manhattan. And, you know, my grandmother told me about this guy that she was friends with. And I ended up going down to his apartment. And he was blind, but he had videotapes of some of the movies he made, so he showed them to me. And the one that he showed me off the bat that really interested me was at some point in the 1950s, he was a writer for UPA, which is part of Columbia Pictures, that did like Gerald McBoing-Boing and Mr. Magoo. He wrote some animated biographies of famous artists, and the movies were played at the Museum of Modern Art.
Oh, wow.
So that was really cool. And then I saw these other movies that he made, which was totally unexpected, because I just, you know, it was my grandmother and this old guy, and I didn't expect to, you know, go down to his apartment and be watching these old black and white movies with strange experimental music and nudity in them.
No one expects their grandparents.
So I did a little story about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, you never, you just never know what you're going to find in someone. I guess that's the thing to take away from that story.
It's
quite fascinating.
So, but I also have, there's a new book that I have a little story in. It's called Meat, it's one of the Meat House books, and it's their new one. It's called Meat House SOS.
Yeah, I saw it. It looks beautiful. I didn't see your story.
I haven't even seen it yet. But
I was in Portland, and Farrell had, Dalrymple had it at his table, and I was perusing through it, and it looks fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that book, because it seems like there are a lot of great things in it.
There is. Local Vancouver, right, Rebecca Dart, she's in there, which is nice, because she's a rarity to actually put on anything. She's one of those people we lost to animation. So.
Oh, she's an animator as well?
Yeah, so she does all her time animating, but when she does comics, they're fantastic. She did for alternative Rabbit Head many years ago.
Right, I've seen that book. That's very nice.
It's a good book. So you've got the Meat House SOS thing. Who are you friends with in the Meat House? How did you get connected with that? Because I didn't really think of you as part of that crowd of people, but it's nice to see that you're in there.
Yeah, I don't really know those guys that well, to be honest. I know Chris, and I know... I'm going to embarrass myself now because I'm forgetting people's names. The guy... I'm not even going to... I'm just going to say I know Chris right now.
Okay. That's okay.
But I actually went to the School of Visual Arts for 1 year.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of those guys went to School of Visual Arts, and they're the same age as me. And it's kind of funny because I didn't know any of those guys.
That's funny.
When I went there.
Yeah, that's where they all met and how they kind of got it started, from what I understand.
Right.
So, no, they're good.
I was too busy watching made-for-TV movies.
Not enough time dorking out, or I guess a different kind of dork out. So you got the Meat House SOS, and then you've got Neverland. Anything else in the pipeline people can check out?
Well, hopefully, you know, this new book that I keep on talking about,
the motorbike,
will come out sometime. I'm hoping to self-publish it sometime.
Excellent. And then you'll be at will you be at Mocha?
I will. There's going to be some sort of book release party on Friday night for not my book, not just my book, but like four different books from Sparkplug and a couple others.
Oh, okay. Nice. Sparkplug make good comics.
Yeah.
So you'll be in a good group as folks. Well, thanks for joining us today, Dave. I've got the guys from the other show standing outside being loud, so I guess it's that's my cue. To wrap
Well, thanks so much
up.
For having me on. It was nice talking to you, Robin.
And I hope you enjoy your vacation.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, and have a swell day.
Same to you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was Dave Kirsch. His new comic coming out, Neverland, from Bodega Books. You can get it in finer comic stores. If your comic store doesn't carry it, yell at them for not carrying it, because they really should be carrying it. Or just go to a better comic store in Vancouver. For folks listening in Vancouver, I would recommend either Lucky's or RX Comics. It's not out right now, but it will be out, I think, next month. But he also has a whole bunch of other stuff, so check it out. Dave Kirsch, Dave K Comics' website. Up next, we got Crimes and Treasons, and next week, like I said, Marv Newland. So cheers, and go check out the crazy show at the Art Gallery now.
Like the angry rising tide,
the restless ones
breaking rocks and beams,
the restless ones.
endless ways we'll see. Like the blowing desert sand,
the restless ones,
dark against the sky.
Against
the storm can stand.